God's word taken from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 20 through 25. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry away the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. So far the very words of God. Dear fellow redeemed, in our culture today, and in fact, from the moment man fell into sin, we have demanded proofs or signs. But a sign is only evil when we demand one from God. It is a weakness of our flesh. But mankind has the tendency to look over the proofs and the signs that God has already given us. In our text for today, the children of Israel are returning from captivity. They have made a collection for the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. King Cyrus has even returned to them the temple articles which were taken from the temple and placed into pagan temples by King Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord says to them as they return, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you who have escaped the nations. If it was a man alone who would have returned these people from their captivity, the likely reaction would be, come grovel at my feet, pay respect and homage to me. But the Lord has something completely different in mind for those people. He says to them, they have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. The Lord is concerned about the spiritual welfare of His children returning to Jerusalem. He says of these people that they have no knowledge. They are once again defiling themselves and worshiping pieces of wood. The Lord continues, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. What the Lord did for the children of Israel is the same thing that He continues to do for us. He asks us to ask ourselves, bring forth your best arguments. The Lord isn't only asking us to gather together and ask questions, but He even gives us the questions to ask. Who has made promises and fulfilled them? We always appreciate it when someone makes us a promise and actually carries it out. But look at the Bible and consider the promises of God. These are not something made one hour and fulfilled the next. These are promises by God alone which have been made for the children of Israel sometimes hundreds, if not thousands of years from when they took place. And it's the same thing for us as well. The promise made of being released from their captivity should have sparked in their mind these promises. It should have caused them to reflect and remember that this one who made these promises is the same one through whom the seed of their Savior would come, the Messiah. This being that proof of what the Lord spoke about Himself would cause them to remember this: there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. When the Lord sets forth His proof of who He is, in turn, He expects that there would be an acceptance of this truth. And that would be to look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. What a declaration to make. What a promise to make about oneself. And in the eyes of man, it's an impossible thing for us to fulfill. But when you look at all of Scripture, the number of promises that have been made and fulfilled is numerous. All of them focus on Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And here are just a few: that He would be a descendant of Abraham, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. He would be called a Nazarene. He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He would be silent before His accusers. And this Jesus, the focal point of your faith, would be crucified through the hands and through the feet, so His blood could be shed to atone for all of your sins. Not only glorious promises, but a glorious fulfillment. And this, my dear friends, is what makes your God, God. That is what separates Him from anything else we might call a God. His word will not return to Him without doing what He wants with it. For some, unfortunately, and many, it will condemn them. They will stand before God at the judgment, asking, praying, even pleading that the mountains fall on them so that they will be removed from the glory of God. You do not walk by sight, but by faith. But seeing all these things, all these promises the Father has made concerning His Son, we have not demanded of Him. He has laid them before you. So don't feel as though it's weak to look upon these sure signs and promises of your salvation. Look upon these sure signs and promises as confidence and knowing that your sins are truly forgiven through the shedding of Christ's own blood. The Spirit is now living in you because of that faith given to you. And you can declare, as the final verse of our text says, "In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory." You are all spiritual descendants of Israel. And because of that, in the glory of your justification through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us conclude with the first stanza of hymn number 366.